this anyway, just for kicks. Him.
Welcome to episode one of season number three, How Time Flies. Welcome back, everybody. Been on a little six-week hiatus, but we are back. Recording a bit late. Had some technical issues. Some were user error. Some were not that needed to be resolved. But getting this recorded on September 4th, a couple days late, and we'll get it dropped today as well. Again, welcome. Thank you for joining. My name is Rob Johnson, and I am the host of the Tales from the Air podcast. And we are everywhere. We're on YouTube. We're on Apple Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcast, you most likely will be able to find Tales from the Air. So seek us out. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And sit back and enjoy. So today is going to be a tad different, not a lot, but a little bit different. We're going to kind of preview season three, what we're going to have in store, and then we're going to get into some updates. I broke down updates this time on TSA, Department of Transportation updates, and then some industry updates with a couple of different airlines that I want to create some news for. So we'll go ahead and get started on that. Let's begin with the preview. And I've been talking about this throughout season two, and it's coming. We just need to lock down the date. But I will be interviewing my good friend Janet Jackson this season. And Janet's going to talk about cruising, all aspects of cruising. Your basic cruises, your 2-3 day, your higher end cruises, things to look for, things to think about. So if you are at all interested in cruising, you'll want to tune in when we have that episode. And like I said, we're trying to lock that down between Janet's calendar and my calendar. We're struggling a little bit to find a day that works, but we're gonna lock it in and do that. We're also conflicted a bit with the fact that she's in one part of the country, I'm in another part of the country, so we're managing that. And as I've shown with this being dropped 3 days late, technology sometimes can be a challenge for me. So anyway, so the next episode will be on time. And the next episode is really going to focus on the 24th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. It will be just a couple days after 9/11. I may actually, depending upon my schedule, I may record on 9/11. I haven't decided yet, but that will be the focus of that episode, talking about 9/11, talking about that day, experiences I had that day, experiences others had that day, and then some of the changes we saw to the travel industry post 9/11. And I think it's timely because we're starting to see some of those policy decisions, some of those restrictions that we have been really dealing with for over 20 years now, start to shift and revert back to pre-9/11 time. So we'll get into a little bit of that as well. And then in another episode, we will really dig deep into the ins and outs of when you travel for whether it be a sporting event for, say, football, pro, or college, whether you're going to a concert or what have you, for travel for an event and kind of what to think about, best practices as you're looking at that travel and what that looks like and how, I think I can help straighten some of those things out and make it to where you have a great trip, an eventful trip. Just things to consider there. So preview of season 3, got a few more episodes in there. I'm sure we'll have some industry related things we'll focus in on and other stories and whatnot, but that will give us 3 solid episodes for season 3. So I purposely have some very structured built-in stops in today's episode, and I'm doing that because I am gearing up to go out and get some advertisers for the Tales in the Air podcast. Made the decision a couple weeks ago that I was going to ramp that up, and so I kind of built the structure to where there were some good breaks, and we're in one right now. Because next we are going to dig into some DOT updates. I did not mention it from the beginning, but always want to hear from you. TalesFromTheAir@gmail.com is a great way to get in touch. I think you can also leave a comment maybe on the YouTube channel as well. But would love to hear feedback. If you are relatively new to the program, go back, listen to episode 1. That kind of gives you the T's and C's of the podcast. And I just had a dog race out of my office, which is also the studio for Tales from the Air. So we may hear some barking here in a minute, but you never know with these dogs. They keep me on my toes. But at any rate, love to hear from you. Love to hear your feedback. Again, if you're sending an email just to be rude, just to be mean, don't waste the energy. I'm just going to delete it. It's going to have zero impact on me at all. I do not care. If no one listens to this podcast ever, I don't care. I do this for me. And if I entertain some folks along the way, glad to do so. But if you're going to be mean-spirited and send in emails saying, you suck, I can do this better, this, that, and the other, don't waste your time, because I'm just going to hit delete and you'll never get a response from me. So it'll just go into that black hole. At any rate, with that being said, let's move into some DOT and TSA updates. So I want to be really clear when I say I don't want this podcast to take on a huge political agenda. When we get into some of these subjects, my views are going to come across from time to time, but that's not what this podcast is about. If it was, I would do a political podcast and focus in on issues of the day. This podcast is really zeroed in around everything travel, and there are some things that are going to occur from the administration or from Congress I'm going to comment on, and I'm going to call balls and strikes. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. And there's going to be times where you're not going to agree with me. There's going to be times you do agree with me. That's okay. But I want to be really clear. This is not me coming in with a political agenda one way or the other. So keep that in mind. Now, when I talk about Formula One, yeah, I probably come in with a bit of an agenda there, but we won't get into that today. So with that said, this past week, U.S. Transportation Secretary Duffy, they held a press conference at Union Station in Washington, D.C., and really on the heels of the president bringing in the National Guard and other agencies like Drug Enforcement Agency, the FBI, ICE, and others into the streets of Washington to patrol and whatnot. This news conference is really on the heels of that. The DOT is reclaiming management of Union Station in D.C. Now, before you get all hot under the collar, believe it or not, the Department of Transportation has owned Union Station since the early 80s. So it's not like the DOT hasn't had a place within Union Station. They've owned it since the early 1980s. But through various leases and agreements, the day-to-day management has fallen to others. And quite honestly, it's not gone well. The funding has not met the standards that should have been met over the years. Excuse me, took a sip today, Dr. Pepper Zero. Maybe try to get them on as an advertiser. But there's a group out there that was formed, the Union Station Redevelopment Corp. They've controlled the parking structure that is tied into Union Station. And quite frankly, that's been the primary funding source. It's that and some leases through some retail. And then I'm pretty confident Amtrak pays a certain amount to run their trains through, as do the Metro Rail and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, funding's not been nearly what it needs to be. So look for some changes at Union Station. It's going to be really interesting to see what that looks like. I do have to share a quick Union Station story. So back, this has been years ago, rideshare was not around at the time when this occurred. But what would happen at airports and Union Station, in particular in Washington, and this is where this occurred, because I would occasionally fly in. I was 100% loyal to Southwest, 100%. And I would fly in nonstop into Baltimore, and I would take the train down to Washington. Now, people thought I was crazy for doing that when I could have flown U.S. Air at the time and flown directly into Reagan, but I didn't. I was 100% loyal to Southwest, unless there was no way I couldn't fly them. It wasn't even something I shopped. So anyway, so I arrive at Union Station, and, you know, again, at the airports and train stations, there was supposed to be some order to picking up a taxi cab to get to wherever, and you weren't supposed to jump in line, and cabs weren't supposed to solicit, limos weren't supposed to solicit. So what would happen is a ride would get canceled, and there that driver would be with a window of time before their next pickup. And so, you know, they would try to hustle and get a ride. So anyway, so I show up and at Union Station, and the line for the cabs was unbelievably long. And this guy was walking out of Union Station, and he asked me where I was heading. And I said, at the time I liked to stay over in Arlington. And so I was going over to Arlington, Virginia, just across the river. And this guy has this just gigantic stretch limousine. Brand new, beautiful, looked incredible. And I'm in jeans and a t-shirt and tennis shoes. I did not look the part at all to be getting in this limo. But in I go, and he charged me about the same rate as what a cab would have been to get over there. So it wasn't exorbitant. But he was looking for something to do and make a little side money. So that's what he did. So I show up at the hotel, and the bellmen at the hotel are almost knocking them each other out of the way to get to the door to open the door for me, thinking that I was some huge VIP coming in to the hotel. And boy, were they disappointed when I got out in my jeans and t-shirt and all that. But it was pretty funny, because that was very much frowned upon during that time to solicit a ride out of turn at those places. And I'm sure he'd been reported at some point or whatever, but it was a great ride over to Arlington, cruising over in the limousine. So at any rate, so a little sidebar there. Last thing I have as it relates to DOT, kind of interesting. There's been chatter for a long time about how the United States needs a new air traffic control system. Airports need an updated system. It's overloaded. It's outdated. This, that, and the other. Well, an RFP, or excuse me, request for services, has been issued for an integrator for a new air traffic control system. So the federal government is starting to kind of put down a plan to work towards that. And this is step one, is to identify a system integrator, because there's going to be all kinds of systems kind of coming together. So you have to have an integrator who can help with that. But that request for services has gone out. So keep an eye out. We're going to see some movement on a new system being built and deployed at airports around the country. Now, not anytime soon, because it takes a minute for that stuff to come together, but at least there's some movement on that, which is good. So let's move into some industry updates now. We'll start with Spirit Airlines. And Spirit, for the second time in under a year, they filed bankruptcy. They're having some real issues over there at Spirit. And, you know, the airline reported a net loss this last quarter of over $245 million, which was about $53 million more than the same period in 2024. So they're really struggling. So what does that mean for the low-cost carrier? Well, when I wrote the notes for the show, there were a lot of question marks as to what was next. But I'm going to cheat a little bit and share some news that occurred just today. So we're after the first, but I think we'll be okay. The airline announced 12 cities starting the week of October 2nd that they will be ending service into. So I think that's the first shoe to drop following bankruptcy. And I have those cities. I'm going to list them for you. But if you have tickets to fly in or out of these cities on Spirit after the 2nd of October, you're going to want to look at changing plans and looking at alternatives. So the cities are Albuquerque, Birmingham, Alabama, Boise, Chattanooga, Columbia, South Carolina, Oakland, California, Portland, Oregon, Sacramento, California, San Diego, and San Jose. And the final city is Salt Lake City. So a big concentration out west, with a few in the southeast. And then the airline is also canceling its planned new service that it was going to have to Macon, Georgia. So that's significant. I say it's significant. When you look at planning and strategy and looking at costs and you look at the volume and all those things, all that went into it, and they had to make some really tough decisions. But to not just reduce but end service in 12 cities, that's significant. So it's going to be really interesting to see what's next for Spirit as they work through this bankruptcy. Are there more cuts to come? Was this just round one? I don't know. Are they going to be reducing service to the existing cities where they are now? I don't know. So stay tuned there. We'll learn more as time goes on. Staying in that same light, now they're not dropping 30 cities, but Southwest is dropping 30 routes beginning in March of 2026. I'm not going to go through all those 30, but that's out there in public domain right now, so you can find those. So that's, you know, again, when you're looking at cost cutting and all that, you make those decisions, and they're tough decisions because it's hard to come back into those routes, into those markets and things of that nature. So it's there's definitely some stress on the airline industry right now. We're seeing that. And so keep an eye out there for you know, what's next from those reductions and cuts. On a positive note with Southwest, they did announce that they are going to be partnering with, and I say it's EVA, EVA Air, out of Taiwan. This is the third such partnership that Southwest has put in place. They have one with China Air and also Iceland Air. And essentially what that means is, let's say you're going to Taiwan, you can book a flight, let's say out of Kansas City, and you can run one itinerary, Southwest to one of those cities that will be leveraging EVA Air on the West Coast, and then change planes, essentially change the airlines to EVA Air, but you would only have one itinerary. So you wouldn't have to book two separate trips, if that makes sense. Like I said, that's a third partnership that Southwest has. A reminder, open seating will be ending January of 2026 for Southwest, and that's right around the corner. So they'll be moving into their assigned seats. And so an end of an era for sure. I mean, that's been, you know, Group A, Group B, Group C. And you knew if you were in Group A, you were pretty much guaranteed to have your choice of a window or an aisle. A little slimmer as you got higher in the B group, but you were probably still going to end up for sure with a window, most likely. But boy, you hit that C group and you were in trouble. So now with the assigned seats, totally changes the dynamic. They're going to have some premier seating. So it'll be interesting to see how that transition goes once that shift is happens in late January of 2026. Last thing I want to mention on Southwest is I thought it was very interesting. They took delivery just recently of the first jet in their fleet with a secondary cockpit barrier. You may be saying, why and what is that? Well, two big reasons for that. Number one, if trouble arises on the plane, and we have seen issues as of late, unfortunately, with multiple airlines where you've had passengers get in fights, and you've seen passengers become belligerent with flight attendants and things of that nature, where you know, you don't know what's next. You don't know if, you know, if someone is medicated or under the influence of alcohol or other drugs, what could be next. Well, having this additional cockpit barrier just adds an additional safety measure with that. And then the second reason, so currently now on a flight, if one of the pilots needs to use the facilities, a flight attendant stands at right in front of row one, and they're essentially just standing there until, you know, essentially stopping anyone from coming into that area. That's not realistic in the big picture of things. If you get, you know, someone who wants up there and they're of significant size, they're going to get past a flight attendant. I don't care if they're male or female. And also it takes the flight attendant away from customer service and other duties when they're having to just stand there. So that cockpit barrier, which will be right in front of row one, it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out. I anticipate seeing more and more of those as time goes on. But at any rate, that concludes episode one of season 3. I'm so glad that you joined us again. Next episode, we will drop on September 15th. We'll have a focus on the anniversary of September 11th. I can't believe it's been 24 years already. And we'll get into some detail on that day and some of the things that have occurred since as it relates to the travel industry and the impact and all that good stuff. But as always, hit us up, talesfromtheair@gmail.com. Tell your friends, family. And as we do every episode, we're going to have Mr. Dwight Yoakam take us home. Dwight, take us out.
Charlotte.